Today is the public launch of the Maryland Lynching Truth and Reconciliation Commission, the first such commission in the country, established by a bipartisan bill earlier this year, empowered to find out the truth about the state's lynching history and then address it. Sherilyn Eiffel will be the keynote speaker at tonight's event. She's president and director counsel of the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, author of the seminal book on lynchings, On the Courthouse Lawn. And if her name is familiar, she is cousin to the late PBS anchor Gwen Eiffel. Sherilyn Eiffel, so sorry for your loss.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Gwen is really an American treasure.
Yeah. And talk about your work. When the commission was created, Maryland acknowledged at least 40 African Americans were lynched in that state from the mid-19th century through 1933. The commission is going to have a staff member from the Office of the Attorney General authorized to issue subpoenas for documents and witnesses. But this is a long time ago, so who might need to be called forth to talk about this?
Well, it's an excellent question. You know, where is the mystery buried?
Yeah.
And actually, it's hiding in plain sight. You know, the name of my book, On the Courthouse Lawn, was designed to expose the truth about lynching, particularly in Maryland, but in many places in the country. They very often happen on the courthouse lawn. And so a kind of silence fell within the white community in the days following the lynchings, and even to the point of denying that some of these events happened. Law enforcement would essentially say that, you know, they couldn't find any witnesses. And so part of the uncovering and the subpoenaing is to find the information. And it could be information held in archives and documents. It could be the burial place of lynching victims who were often, you know, buried in obscure graveyards. It's not so long ago that there's not documentation or other information or artifacts that are relevant to piecing together the story.
We know that coroners often just said that victims of lynching died at the hands of parties unknown when everyone knew the parties were. And we're hearing from people already, Carla Wynn, who went to a public meeting that's already been held at Harford Community College. She's an academic advisor at that school, and she talks about how there are families for whom this is still unspoken of and yet very present. You know, grandma told mom, who told the children, pain and loss and horror, but you can't talk about it.
Well, there was silence in both the black community and the white community. The silence in the black community was, this is not something that you speak about, but we're going to tell you what happened because it's also a cautionary tale about the danger that you are in if you walk outside the bounds of citizenship that the white community has set for black people. And then in the white community, there was also a silence, and that silence was made up of some fear, I suppose, of being caught, a little bit of shame, I think, for some. But it became a bond between people. And when I was doing my research in the late 1990s and early aughts, that silence was still quite thick. And we're losing the last physical eyewitnesses to some of these events. Mm. But it's not too late.
Well, so there's the truth part of the commission. For the healing powers we know that has, not only for those whose families were victims, but those whose families were perpetrators. But now we get to the reconciliation part. Do we know what that looks like from this commission? Is it reparations? What does reconciliation mean?
Well, the charge of the commission doesn't quite get us there. The commission is charged with submitting a report with findings and recommendations by December 2021. What you should be thinking about is how can the breach and the harm be repaired? And some of that is about the families of victims. But, you know, lynchings were meant to terrorize whole communities. So the repair that has to happen actually is community repair. And there are many ways to do that. There can be apologies from local law enforcement that failed to do their job.
So the county sheriffs or jailers allowed
Absolutely.
The mobs to take the men from jail that
That's
they
right,
hung?
From jail.
Yeah.
The newspapers that in some instances refused to report about lynching events that happened very close to their publishing offices. These are the kinds of things that should be really revealed and unearthed. And then finally, there has to be repair in the public space. And that may mean putting markers at the unmarked graves of lynching victims that describes events that happened that stand in such sharp contrast to what the courthouse represents in terms of justice.
We know that Brian Stevenson is already running the Equal Justice Initiative, just a wonderful nonprofit that's memorializing lynching sites. I'm not going to ask why is this needed, because obviously as much as possible is needed. But what does it mean that this is a state-run Truth and Reconciliation Commission?
It is really vital that this not be seen as some private effort. And the state has to take responsibility for its own history that is not pleasant. And so to have the imprimatur of the state of Maryland behind the effort to learn more about these events and to propose and adopt recommendations on how we address what we've learned is hugely powerful and important and historic.
Sherrilyn Ifill, President and Director Counsel of the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. Also, she'll be the keynote speaker at the public launch of the Maryland Lynching Truth and Reconciliation Commission, the first state-run commission of its kind. Sherrilyn, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me.